Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Let me say that again. Welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master wealth builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And I am very excited every week to come on with my co-host, Dan Calloway, and talk about the city of Riviera Beach. But as I always say, I am thoroughly convinced, like the words of Acres of Diamonds says, that we travel all around the world looking for larger diamond finds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us, in our own hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, this podcast, we are calling it Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. And today we're going to discuss our platform and program for the future. But we have with us a guest friend of mine who happened to have been traveling through right before we prepared for the program that I asked him to come on, and his name is Wyman Wimbush. Wyman and I are members of the National Association of Speakers, and we're also partnered with and been a part of the Million Dollar Black NSA Speakers Association, which is a mastermind. And as a result of that, for the last few years, we have become co-partners of that program and very excited. So first, let me introduce our co-host, Dan Calloway. How are you this afternoon, Mr. Calloway? And then we'll hear a few words from Mr. Wimbush.
Doing wonderfully well, and it's always a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to this Sunday podcast. I think it's going to be one of our greatest. All of them are just fantastic with the news that we have, where we're trying to work with the lease and the loss and the left out coming up. I'm anxious, so I'm ready when you're ready. And welcome, Mr. Wimbush. Wonderful to have you on here for a moment before Dr. Drayden get here. Thank you very much for being here.
All right. So just want to make sure, Deja, if you can open up the phone for Mr. Wimbush. Good afternoon,
hey,
Wyman. How are you?
He hasn't called in yet on the line.
Oh, okay. Give me 1 second. Let me get it. All right, Deja and everybody, Mr. Wimbush is calling in right now, and then I'll also check on Dr. Drayden. But, Mr. Calloway, while we're waiting on Mr. Wimbush to come on, you were sharing with me a vision that you have, and I was talking about the book that you published, and Wyman, while he's coming on, was making a suggestion. He asked me about who wrote your book. I didn't know you already had one. But I just want to put out in the atmosphere the idea and suggestion he made was that, it would be great if each of us whose lives you've touched would give a one-page submission on the impact that you've had on each of us. So, create an anthology. So I think that that's an excellent idea. I will talk with you about that offline. But Mr. Wimbush is on. Good afternoon, Wyman. How are you today? If you can tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, hey, good afternoon, Ann and others, hosts. My name is Wyman Wimbush. I'm currently from Jacksonville, Florida. By way of background, I spent 30 years in the Navy. I'm a retired Navy captain. I also spent 31 years with IBM and technical sales, and I'm now working as a consultant trainer in sales and diversity inclusion and other things. And I met Ann as a speaker. We're both professional speakers.
Well, that's beautiful. This is Dan Calloway, and to meet you, I hope you'll be in our area pretty soon, especially on the 14th of May. I'd like to give you an invitation to be here. That's one of, that's the night that Ann's going to be one of the recipients of Citizen Award of the Year for outstanding service. Six people, and it'll be 400 people in the audience, and that's what we call homecoming. With all these athletes and everybody coming in, we'll be in 2 weeks, and I think you would love that, what we are doing. They're going to 11 different schools in our area. The kids from Riviera, they attend. We're going in places like the Project. You would know some. Every town got a Project. They got tough areas where kids hang out. I call them kids because I'm 84 years of age. A lot of them are adults to try to change their life. And all this here black-on-black killing, we have to stop that ourselves. We can't allow the law to try to do it all by themselves. So all those things like that. Now, about my book that you were talking about, yes, I have a book published in the top people. But a lot of my former athletes, they want to have another book so they can tell exactly what Ann just said. They want to do that. So, and you will talk to me offline, and I'll tell you where we are there and how we can put that together.
Yeah, that's beautiful about athletes. My father is 93, and you may have crossed paths with him because he was a coach at Kissimmee High School and Osceola High School. He coached track and basketball back in the days when the state championships used to be at Showalter Field in Orlando, Florida. I'm fairly certain you probably crossed paths with him at some point back in the day. But he coached and ended up being vice principal in the Osceola County school system for 40-plus years, as did, was my mom. But he's fortunate he's living with me now, and he's just celebrated his 93rd birthday.
Congratulations.
Yes, and like you, he has students that are in their 70s right now, former students.
Well, yeah. I can relate to that. The most important thing that happened in your father's life is all the lives that he touched. And now, like Ann once said, that she's the seed that I planted in her life, like so many lives a long time ago. I just feel comfortable and blessed that at 84, and you're telling me your father's 93, and I know he touched many more than I have, because being a principal, the whole campus was under his tutelage. So he had to sign off on so many going off to jobs and college and making a difference. And 90%, they all would come back and said thank you. It was hard when I was trying to learn that, but now I'm a father, mother, or whatever. They all tell the story. I want to be just like what you did for us. And that's very meaningful. So you make sure you tell your father congratulations from another old man, Dan Calloway.
I certainly will. And as Ann, I didn't share that with Ann, but we must be on the same page, because I was blessed to have an opportunity to go to the Naval Academy to get my education, and you know that's a full ride. But when I was a sophomore, my civics teacher asked me if I'd ever heard of the Naval Academy, and I thought the Army-Navy game was a game with people actually in Army and Navy scrimmaging. I never heard of service academies. And that man's question changed the trajectory of my life. And as I prepared to go to my 35th reunion from the Naval Academy, I wrote an article call, have you ever heard of the Naval Academy? And I told the story how this man, who didn't know me from Adam, but saw more in me than I saw in myself, and had the audacity to pose the question to me that changed the trajectory of my life for the better, because the Naval Academy was more college than my parents could afford. And the benefits I'm still reaping. The reason I'm in South Florida right now, I was speaking to a Navy Reserve unit that had just returned from deployment as their keynote speaking trainer for the weekend. And so the blessings of that man's question, it's still paying dividends. And I wanted to let him know in a public forum that I appreciated him for that. And, Coach, I'll tell you another example. You know, in Kissimmee, we were fairly late desegregating. And I was in the stands watching a game one day, and one of my neighbors, who's now a pastor, Pastor Melvin Jenkins in Kissimmee, looked over at me, 14-year-old, and said, Wyman, you should be head up over the center next year. In other words, you should be playing quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Around me that encouraged me, but my neighbor, who was only a few years older than me that was playing varsity, was the one that made me consider trying out for quarterback, and I was the first black quarterback at Osceola High School, right? So, again, there are those all around us, and I made sure that I let him know on Black History Month that the Black History was made there at Osceola High School because of his exhortation and encouragement. What? We all have exhorters and encouragers. We all have someone we owe a thank you to.
Well, I can tell you right now, I know a little about the Service Academy, and you got to be a good student. You got to have some kind of elected official, your congressman or the mayor or the governor or somebody to recommend. You just don't walk on at West Point, at the Naval Academy, and at Air Force Academy, and none of that unless you are tremendously intelligent. But most of all, your attitude and your personal conduct got to be way above par. Evidently, your father, or whoever was in the Naval Academy at the time being, Roger Staubach, if you know anything about the Naval Academy. And then you got the big, and then when you think about basketball, the big center would play for the San Antonio
David
Robinson. And they had to spend at least 3 to 4 years in service before they could come back and participate in their sport. You've got to do that if you go to those academies. So I'm well aware of that. But most of all, just listen a minute or two when you were talking. We need to have you down here to be one of our speakers to a lot of these kids in high school, and especially in the high school, and boys. See, because we always try, if a kid can't go off to a four-year college or two-year school or get some kind of trade, we want them to go into service, because the service will teach them self-discipline. I spent 2 years in Germany, first black to be the head of the 7th Army Support Command over the baseball team as a coach. I captained the 7th Army golf team. I was on special service, and you knowing something about that, so you were military, you know, all I had to do was play some kind of sports because they saw in my background that I was in the Pittsburgh Pirate Organization as a baseball player. And being in now the Germany Hall of Fame as a participant, along with the ones over in the United States, it means a lot. And I tell you right now, I can't wait to talk to Ann later on and get all the things about you, and I'll have your number, and I'll be putting that together sometime soon, working your schedule to get you down here.
Yes, sir.
And both of you, you know, all things do work together for good, and so Wyman, I just drove off on his way driving to Jacksonville, but I just got the message that Dr. Drake is on the line. So Wyman, hold on, and we're going to invite Dr. Drake to the line so that he can go ahead and interview. And then we're going to come back, have you come back, Wyman, and talk about some other things. So,
I would love to, yes.
I'm ready. Dr. Drake, no?
Yes, Dr.
Drake.
How are you, sir?
I'm well. I certainly apologize for my tardiness. That's an exception, not the rule. Have some things going on. I couldn't break the wait form, and I try to get back as fast as possible. So I do apologize for that. It is Sunday
not
morning.
Not a problem. Not a problem. We're just excited to have you. Go ahead, Mr. Calloway.
The day is Reverend Drayton. Normally I call you Dr. Drayton. That's when you're awake on the pulpit in the church. But nothing is higher than you being Reverend Drayton. Now, that just all to that. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thanks for asking.
Let me get right into this because I've told a lot of people. I'm so impressed. From the other day when you sent a message for me to be there with all the ministers, with Art and I, and
yes.
To see that many people, that's why I told Ann, this meeting here, this podcast here, may be the most important we've had in the two-year extension we've been on air every Sunday. Because it set the table for what we all should do. We've had ministers before, but we didn't have one who's in charge of that many ministers, and it's all about Riviera, because this show is about Riviera. And
yes,
for you to have that many, I didn't say anything, but I told Artie I'll get to you as soon as you can set up a meeting. And then I thought about what we got coming in the 100th year in June. Of course, you know, my church, my pastor was there, Reverend Wardell, and we are celebrating our 100th year. 5 years ago, you were one of the speakers at our 95th. I was in charge of putting everybody together on this program.
Yes, sir.
I think on January 11th, not January 11th, I'm banking up. It's June 11th, in Juneteenth month, of course. You're on so many committees, and you're well aware, and we have talked about Juneteenth, and we're going to make a big in Riviera about that. Even our parade will be in June this year. The thing that I want to bring up to you while we're on the air, you had members from all different churches in Riviera and outside of Riviera, and that was a lot of things because you had representation from on the West Palm at Boynton and everybody like that, which I think is great. What do you think about having something on June 11th at the Callaway Complex? Because Mon Ali will be there from 8 to 4, and we've already designated Church Week. If you want to have something Friday and any time after 5, from 5 to 11 or 5 to 10 that night, and we have the four P's. And under the youth declaration, our four P's is praying, or prayer, playing, picnicking, and party. That's the four P's. Prayer, or praying, playing, picnicking, and party. We can touch everybody because you know you always trying to get the sinners to come in, and we all sin in certain ways. If you feed them, they'll come. If you give them music, they'll stay. And then you can get their attention. Now, you elaborate on that, because you and I have been down this road before.
Yes, I think that's some great imagination and vision. And I think that because Juneteenth and the way it has been elevated and raised, which is long overdue, there's some work around that last year, and there's some speaking around that. I think we need to do those types of celebration in this particular case, this particular one. I believe that collectively we can build that out, you know, because it's long overdue. And we've made some progress, late progress, in getting a national recognized day. We should definitely celebrate it. I think we can make that happen, definitely.
Well, the reason why, because of, you were organizing, and of course, I told you and I and Artie, we had those conversations before. Nobody fit the bill to put this together better than you. Now, most people don't know that, but I know that. and I'll be right there beating the drum until everybody understand that. But we, if we were going 1,000 miles, we got to start with one step. So
exactly.
What I'd like to do is, if you give me the direction, or Adi, that we will call the city manager, the mayor, Ronnie Felder, and Doug Lawson, and we'll sit with them for an hour and put that together. All you have to do is say, let's do it. Then, therefore, each one of those ministers was in there. Let's say we're going to have ribs, chicken, fish, hot dogs, and hamburgers. We appoint one church or two churches to take care of that. Then we'll have, we'll tell the mayor, call Pepsi-Cola or Coca-Cola and get them to donate all the Coca-Cola, all the drinks. Then we'll have somebody from the city to go and tell one of the places like Cisco, the Cheney Brothers, to donate. All we have to do is prepare it. Only thing we need from you is to give us the order that we should do that. And the reason why I'm saying that, because April is right around the corner, and we just, this all came to me since I left you the other day, and it was Friday. We need to get right on top of that, and we definitely need to bring in the city, because that's part of the government, and that's part of what you put all these people together. And I said this a long time ago, until we get the ministers, especially the black ministers in Riviera, in Palm Beach County, to do what they did when I was a boy, when everything
right.
started from the church. You and I have had numerous of times. That's what you said in the meeting. Said, Mr. Calloway, we finally doing what you asked us to do. If you can get that group, and I think that group will follow you anywhere, we can do all the things when it comes to the politics, the education, and then we need that now more than ever because of the pandemic. It's not gone.
Yeah.
And then what
yeah.
happens if somebody pushed the wrong button and Russia started firing over here at us, and then we are not prepared to have a war in the United
yeah.
States. I'm 84, and I've never been in one. Not, I mean, the United States. But the thing
yeah.
about it is, you and I talked about the shelter in case a hurricane come here. I need you to elaborate on that. Because we're going to have to build that shelter. We got people right now talking with Derek McCray and myself right now want to build it. A group with a lot of money want to come in there and do that. But we can't go any further till we get, because of the election, now we know who we're in there. So we can
yes.
get with the, we'll bring that up in the meeting too. We need
yeah.
to do that. And then the, not only that, we need to be under the unction of the churches. And you got all those ministers, because every time somebody gets ready to run for a political position, the first thing they do is run to the church and ask to be able to be heard. Now they need to listen from the church, from the ministers. I think this is the greatest day that we have had in the last 30 years. And I told you that not too long ago when the mayor, who's a minister himself, said, for me to help him get all the ministers together, I came to you, and you got them together. That's why I said you need to be in charge. Now, what's your response?
I agree with you saying. I think that, I think collectively, the energy that was there, even from the first one, and then last we had a couple of days ago, I concur with what you're saying. And I think one of the things that we thought we were trying to do was, like, bring them to the table. We did. And I asked that, you know, listen real carefully, what kept them up at night, what were some of the things that they were concerned about, and the things that you are mentioning now are certainly in that bucket, and they are bucket lists and bucket things that they were, and we were collectively, that are very, very similar, because in the words of Cornel West, these are human issues, and we're all a human. These human issues affect us all. Collectively in our city. So I know we can do it. However, what I like to see is that, you know, I have a dialogue with them. We come together and they get a group, maybe a small group, and how to build that out. and make sure that we know where we're going and what we're imagining. But I'm certainly, we got to do this. We got to do something. So I'm saying yes, but I would like to, you know, bring it to them, and they will listen and find those who want to take leadership and ownership, and we build that out together. I know we can do it. I know we can do it.
Well, this is the end of March, and we got April and May. We're talking about 10 weeks.
Yeah, we can make this happen.
Okay, what I think that you should call a meeting after, before we get to one or two people. Let's say if you call three or four of your ministers, because they want to be told what is the game plan. You said something in the meeting that we are like a football team, a baseball team, that everybody got a position. You got the coach, you got the assistant coaches, and then you got the quarterback, then given the game plan by the coach, and everybody listen to the quarterback in the huddle and then run the play, and it'd be successful. Pulling together. We cannot be separated. That's where we got to get back in our community, and this is what this show is all about. Riviera giving the opportunity to other people in Riviera to be successful in their everyday life. Now, whether it's in the educational field, whether in the medical field, or whether it's out there cutting grass, doesn't matter. Give them the opportunity and look after the young people. And that's what you've been doing. Now, you elaborate on a little bit more right now about why you thought it was so important to go out and put this all these people together, because that was really brilliant. You had over 30 people representing over 30 churches, and that's never happened before, because I've been a part of all these ministerial alliances as a liaison person from the sheriff's office or from the recreation department for the last 50 years, and we never had that many in there like you had the other day. And before I turn that over, I will have the meal for your next meeting, that breakfast. You get with Artie, tell her what you want to have or what they want to have lunch. Whatever it is, the youth recreation will pay for that.
One of the things that drives me drive those who are interested, and that there's something, I'm going to be real honest with you, and I think that's where my where I can have a little bit of credibility with the clergy, because once I say something, they know I'm going to try to keep my word in what I say, and I'm going to try to be as real with it as possible. And one of my approaches is that we're not looking to have a clergy alliance. We're not looking for an association. We're not looking for any of the traditional things that has really divided us, because many clergy, far too many, don't want a part of being, you know, association and et cetera. Young clergy don't even have an idea what an association and some of these alliances are all about. So names and things like that sometimes can separate as well as put us together. But the approach was to look at someone who wanted to do the work to make our community better, who wanted to cross denominational lines, who wanted to cross the socioeconomic lines as religious lines, and look at our city and build it toward becoming a beloved community and deal with the things. I want to say it like this. Our community, and especially black and brown people that we're behind on, so we can come up to par and be concerned about the totality of our city, in health disparities, in financial power, in economic power, our narrative power, our educational power, every sense of the way. Because usually our communities are far behind, and we got to come up. Dr. King said this: if a person is running a race and you're running behind, you have to run faster or forever remain behind. Mm-hmm. And we have our city, and I know this from having studied in the North at Colgate or Chester Crozier, that our city is studied around the world. It's studied. It's studied in this country. It's been said that Riviera Beach is one of the few cities that can rival Atlanta because of our waterfront and what we offer. And we need to find ways to maximize that by taking care of our citizens first as we seek to take care of others. And so gathering the clergy in such an effort, it would be to look at the things that I'm talking about, that we talked about in that meeting, participating in democracy, dealing with racial implications and microaggressions and things like that, building that financial power, building the academic power, building that narrative power, building those kind of things to make our city whole, and dealing with the issues more so than saying, oh, I want to be in a church association. It supersedes that. Or I want to be in a clergy alliance. Dealing with the issues of our city, it supersedes all of the denominations, all of the personal things that we've been dealing with. And yet and still, we filter them through the faith-based leadership, through our churches. I said this in the approach. Every church, we have persons who in every field in our churches, from the legal field to the medical field, political field, religious field, on Sundays, they find their way to some house of faith. So we have a collective voice on Sunday mornings or whenever we worship, and that voice goes out into multiple disciplines. So we have been placed in a position to have some type of influence over those to whom we serve, give service to. That's why I can read.
Well, this is the reason why you and I, for not much, that was over 2 years ago, I'm reminded we were feeding about 75 senior citizens at the Linda Davis Senior Citizen Building. And you came in there as one of my guests called to be there, and I think you gave the prayer. And that evening, you asked about five of us, Deacon Fields, Artie, myself, and I know it was Derek Craig. You asked us, somebody had lost their house, just burned the house. The house got burned down. No insurance, no nothing. You went and started housing those people in the motels on, I don't know, was it Palm Beach Lakes or was it on Blue Heron? But
Blue
you Heron. Did that. And you had an organization when most people didn't know anything about, that when people in a crisis like that, we can't be worrying about what the Red Cross or what everybody else is going to do. We got to do it right then. And you've been doing that before you were talking to me about it. And even after that, elaborate a little bit about that, why it's important to have the ministerial alliance, not whether I use ministerial alliance or well, but the ministerial
alliance. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
So tell us about why that is important. We can do those things.
Important because, with, like that particular case there, I remember because you gave me $200 and somebody gave me some more money. Others did. I remember it clearly. And yet and still, I felt that as what we were giving, you know, we can't sustain a family for 6 months, 8 months, 12 months at a hotel. And no one church can really do that. It would take a lot of resources. It would take a lot out of a church. No two. But together, when things like that happen, we can at least put a mother with five children in a place of safety. No more. I don't forget how she got those children. You know, their children are a gift of God, but we're at a place of service, and we can't afford to have that kind of homelessness pervasive in our community. And we go in our gated communities or wherever we may be. And I believe our city and our churches and our clergy and our mosques, our places of faith, are stronger together than we are separately. Matter of fact, we have agreed that if any disaster comes in the city, where our church now is a safe haven. We got designated that. We got persons If we have any disasters, that's willing to fund people to be in our church. We did all the inspections. We did things like that. And these are the kind of initiatives that hopefully and prayerfully the clergy who you saw gathered there, and about five or six wasn't even there, who's with what we're doing, that we can begin to stand up and bring this kind of energy to our city collectively.
Well, where we met Friday, is that your dining room? Because that's very spacious, that you can just say if we had a hurricane, which we're going to have, and we had the shelter. Now, of course, we got certain places designated, but the last time we had a bad hurricane here, we didn't have enough because they were bringing people from the Glades and Royal Palm and a lot of other places because it was coming from the west. What we got to be prepared to use all our facilities, and most of the best facilities we got to house people with their house cannot hold up against that kind of weather will be a church or a school. And you have a kitchen in there. So therefore, even if you don't have the electricity, we can, put those portable things that we cook on all the time. And we got to prepare for that. See, because the last time we had a bad hurricane, it took us 3 to 4 weeks because a man named Reverend Parker at Hearst Chapel AME Church. They gave us the kitchen, and we got the food, and we had people 3 times a day. Everybody was volunteering. See, sometimes disaster bring us closer together, but sometimes if we're not prepared for it, this is why the young man we were talking before you got on the Naval Academy, military teach you self-discipline. That's one thing they're going to do. And that's what makes people mostly successful. And as an athlete, ex-athlete, that teach you discipline. Because if you don't have discipline, you're going to fail. You're going to be running them up. You don't know where you're going. But I'm so impressed that, and I know when I was trying to tell you, only person that I thought could really do that would be you, and you went on and did that. Now, you're going to have to figure out when we start asking for money to come from business, big business people, because I want all those Fortune 500 people in Riviera. And this is what this show is about. I am Riviera. You are right there housed on 35th, between 35th and 36th Street, right in the middle of the black community, one half a block from S Avenue, when everybody talk about that all over the world and say it's a tough city to come off, a street to come off, and I always tell them I was born on that street, 3009, 84 years ago, and I didn't turn out that bad, so why it's so bad? It's not bad. People make things bad. A place and a thing doesn't make it bad. Only human beings make it bad. Now, your next step for the listening audience, because they're going to be calling during the week asking about that, are you allowing with the group you got that anybody can come and be affiliated with it without being of the cloth as a reverend, any kind of person from the clergy?
Yeah, we're asking the clergy group we will have who we call allies, those who are going to work with us. Let's say the ABC Water Company or the HIJ Mentoring Association. We're looking for allies like that. We call them allies to be a part, to bring their specialties in with them, and we build it out. Does that make any sense? If you got 12 groups who want to come in, we're going to connect with those groups at a table, a convening table, to have input, bring things in, to try to deal with as many of the needs as possible in there. So it will be yes, in that type of paradigm, though. Just say,
well,
like Mama and Youth Rec, they will be allies. Whatever, youth recreation, whatever. Yeah. Just say we were looking at the name River Beach Care, which we're probably going to sell on that, Clergy Advisory Network, okay? That would be the clergy. But we'll have also in agreement, allies, like Mama as an ally. Youth Rick would be an ally. Remember that we were talking about that? And then any other organization come and say, hey, Faith in Florida is an ally with us. They're not us, but they were working for the same common goal. You bring the group in like that at the table. So when you, me, Artie, John Smith, Alice Smith get together, not only we have the clergy, but we got five or six other groups there at that convening table making one.
Okay. Yeah. That's beautiful. I think that if we're going to be successful in turning this monster around, and it is a monster because it's so many people out there hustling up and down the street, taking advantage, you know, we're going to have accidents, what happened in Royal Palm when the person lost control and killed two of the people, the kids on the street, on the sidewalk waiting on the bus. And then there's so many fightings at the schools. Oh, like you take a Carver Middle School in Delray, they already called the youth recreation, they are calling. That's why I'm bringing all those athletes in here in May to go to 11 different schools to tell them we got to stop this. See, the sheriff's office just signed a contract for so many $1 million that they will send so many people to different schools because of the shortage of police officers at their different schools. And it's mandated that every school got to have a law enforcement personnel there. School board security.
Right.
Well, sometimes we're going to have to help the law. And that's the only way you can sell it. You know, you can't put enough police officers on the street to see all the crime. You got to have the citizens to help out. We got to do this. But I need to say this, and I need for the audience who are listening to this, this may be the most important thing. I don't know no association or organization or anything is more powerful than the church. Because the church was here before everything else. Now, when I see ministers who are ordained and walking in the steps that Jesus did, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, giving sight to the blind, raising the dead, visiting the sick and shut in. But now we can't give no sight to no blind, and we can't raise nobody from the dead. But we can do the rest of those things. And we do that, we are showing our ability to follow in the greatness of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm a layman, and I understand that. Now, do you think that in this day, the pressure on everybody to change overnight, see, the good people are going to be good anyhow, but we got to be able to turn the ones who are out there in the field. Now, correct me if I quote something from the Bible, and I'm a little student, but I'm not in the class with the educated people like you are. In the book of Genesis, was that about Noah, who was told to go build an ark and get two of everything because it's gonna rain, and he only preached one sermon, and he was preparing for the future when everybody was gone. You had him who stuck to what he was supposed to do. Now, the reason why I brought that up, that's discipline, because Moses only preached one sermon. It's going to rain, children. Now, you elaborate on that.
Yeah, I think there's something about athletics and discipline, et cetera. And that's one of the things we were trying to raise up in the meeting with the clergy, was that we're not just gathering just for an exercise of fertility. And if you know, I'm trying to get them something that's sustainable. What can be sustained? What can we pass on? What are we building? What are we going to build that we can pass on to the next generation? Where we're standing in the gap. We're getting the baton. We're running with the baton. We're also ready to pass the baton on. One of the things that allegedly with the civil rights movement, according to many behaviors, is called the failure of renewal. We asked the question, was there anyone there to receive the baton, to take the baton on, to run on with it? when we came out of that, quote, epoch of time, of that era. And by many standards, and I agree, we failed to identify who was going to take that baton and run on. And whatever we're doing in our city, in our churches, but that has to be as we move and we address these issues and concerns, that we also have to deal with the past, that baton on for the future. So I think is in creative exegesis, quote, preacher's language, church language, they're drawing the meaning out of. What you said is very applicable to what we're doing today. I tell people, appreciate the past, live in the present, but prepare for the future. Live in the present, but appreciate the future, prepare for the future. And we cover past, present, and future.
Well, if we don't take care of the present and building for the future, we all going to die out. Like,
exactly.
We going to be just like a bunch of dumb driven cowboys. One person quoted,
there's an onus on persons of faith, the way I exegete and look at it, for us to do the things that we're trying to do now and is long past due.
Yes.
And I take the position that if the community of leadership and we pastor a myriad of disciplines in our churches, a place of the faith, that we owe this to them by the call of God to walk in these particular spaces. And nothing to say, oh, you're doing this and no. That's what walking in the place that we walk should entail. It comes with territory.
And I appreciate that. Reverend, our time is putting it up, and I want to say this, and before I turn it over to my director, who asked me two or three years ago when she got this idea, all this came up from Ann McNeil. She's the brilliant one.
Yes.
Everything we do, I have not missed but two. One, the Sunday that I was sick, couldn't come to your church, and another time because I had death in my family. I had to be out of town. Put this aside because I want to get the right type of talent or a person to be on this program. And you've been on this program before. And I told Adi, we need to have you. Before I left your building Friday, right then I had to make sure I needed you here because I just thought what you were putting together, this is something we should have had and it should sustain because it give us a chance. And there's a word called H-O-P-E, hope. We need to give everybody hope. That's what senior citizens, people of color, people of all kind of religious background, they need to give people hope. And you always give people hope. And so we are so glad to have you here. And this is another one of your babies.
Yes, sir.
To let the people know. Now, what do you have to tell him?
Pastor Faith and I are going to have a meeting regarding the meeting we're planning on for the fire station for Riviera Beach. So we had a conversation earlier during this meeting. And again, publicly, I want to thank you for everything you're doing in the community, Dr. Faith, because it is person by person, you know, that we touch the lives, and those lives touch lives, and those lives touch lives. So my desire as a servant is to So I'm very excited. I want to thank Wyman Wimbush for cameoing, coming in. You know, all things still work together for good. And this is our stand-in for hope. Thank you, Mr. Wimbush, and also Mr. Calloway, always. I do want to publicly put out the idea that Mr. Wimbush approached about creating a book, writing a book, like an anthology, and each of us, lives have been touched by you, Mr. Calloway, write a page to have that book published. So I really want to continue to put that out in the atmosphere and in the air because there are a lot of lives and a lot of people who would love to contribute a page to that anthology. So if it's okay with you, Mr. Calloway, I think that one good idea deserves a deserves action. As we know,
well,
creativity, that's where inspiration works.
Well, I'll be glad before they put me below the ground, and we need to get right on that. And then a lot of them, you know, so many. The youth recreation has been in existence for, it's going on our 59th year. Actually, to be frank with you, January of next year, we'll be starting our 60th year. They want to do that. See, the first book was about my history and not as much about the ones like you and Artie and everybody else, and they halfway over the country. They want to do that. And so many of them coming back in May. And when you and I talk, and I talk to Mr. Jacksonville, the Navy admiral up there, I had some guys that was in the Navy. We're going to put something together. You and I will get on that. You'll get off the when we're not on the air. We'll talk about that. But one thing I want to say this, and this is my last comment, because my show is coming to the end, should be the end. I'm never hesitant to help do something with the ones who are homeless, the one who's hungry, and the one who's not housed. I'm never too busy not to roll up my sleeves and get into that. We talk about this, Pastor, and of course you know this, I don't know, Artie was supposed to drop you off some specs. I don't know if you get them or not, but if you didn't, you were in the line because I went out there and caught some specs, led in the boat with the guys. And the main thing about it, we feed over from anywhere from 800 to 1,400 people every month with fresh fish and have it already filleted and all the cinquain because we got all these seniors. We got a whole list, and that now it's growing more and more. I think that what we're going to sit down with you, and I want to do that for the committee. And all you have to do is just tell me what meal you want on our meeting in April, whether it's breakfast or lunch, and I'll figure out how we get it done. And my comment is that thank you, and thank you for all the people who want to thank you, because you've been a beacon of light in Riviera for a long time. And I personally want to let you know I stand at your shoulders and push as hard as I can for whatever endeavor you want to be in, because you are God sent. Thank you very much. And thank you, Ann, for allowing us to bring him in at the last minute. And we'll continue to do that. And you all go with God. God bless all of y'all.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Calloway. Dr. Drake, thank you so very much. If you want to have
thank
a closing comment, yes, we can wrap up. Randy, do you have a closing comment?
Thank you. I'm humbled, and I apologize. We have a great goal to serve our great city and our people.
All right. A man of few words. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. And have a good weekend, and we'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Hashtag, I am Revere Beach. Hashtag, Revere Beach. Try. Everybody, have a great day. Thanks.